Good morning again, brothers and sisters. Let me start off by saying a small prayer. Heavenly Father, may the words from my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you and to this congregation this day. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a story that's been told several times, and I'm just indulging me to share it with you. And this is how the story starts. It says, there was once an old lady, and she had such a faith in God that every day she would go out and approach and she would say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And next to her lived a gentleman who was an atheist, and he would shout back at her, there's no God. Well, hard times fell on this woman. So she prayed to God. She said, God, I need your assistance. She stood on a prayer and approached again, and she said, Lord, I need groceries. Times are hard. Send me some groceries. The next morning, as she got up, and she went to her front porch, there was a big bag of grocery. And she said, praise God. The neighbor, who was an atheist, that lived next door, jumped out and said, ha, got you. There's no God. I'm the one that purchased that grocery for you. You see, there's no God. The woman jumped, and she started to praise the Lord even more. She said, God, you know what? I'm praising you because you didn't just send me grocery. You made the devil pay for it too. And that leads me into today's message. And the message for today is called, Ready for the Master. In lieu of Pastor Steppy being away, he asked me to bring the sermon today. And the sermon is taken from Luke chapter 12, verses 35 and 40. So if you don't mind, open up your Bibles and follow me. I promise you I will unpack the scripture for you. Let me know when you're there. Please say amen. It's Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 40. The verses start, and depending on what version of the Bible you're reading, it says, be dressed and ready for service and keep your lamp burning. The King James Version says, keep your loins girdled and your lamp burning. The first thing that comes to you from Luke's writing is, what is he saying? He's talking about getting ready, your loins girdle, your lamp burning. If we go back in history and to unfold this, I have to give you a background of what it was like in Jesus' days in the Middle East. Most of the folks in the Middle East wear long gowns, and part of it is these robes, they were called, almost touches the ground. But for anyone we know, wearing a long robe, it hinders your movement. So the term girdle means to tie, to put a rope around you. You cannot do any strenuous activities with your gown flowing without being tied. And the metaphor is girdle, tied your waist. Why is Jesus telling this parable? What is he trying to get over to the folks? What he's saying is, if you think about it, there's something you have to do, but you have to be ready. And for you to be ready, you have to be dressed that way. Many chapters in the Bible also quote being girdled. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 11, it says, and thus it shall be with your loins girdled, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, make haste, it is the Lord Passover. This was the commandment God had given to the Hebrews. He was instructing them. It was the Passover, and he needs them to be ready to go to do his will. Another part of the Bible that gives us an indication of that was in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 4 to 6. And it says, the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and Elijah girdled his loins and ran before Ahab. These metaphors, simply put, are there for us. Jesus spoke a lot of parables, and the message of these parables was that there was a lesson in it for us to understand and to adapt to. Growing up in Guyana, I experienced many nights when we had blackout, where there was no electric. So one of the things we learned is to always be prepared prior to the lights going off. It was always wise to keep the lamp lit. So as the power comes off, you're ready and prepared. It is terrible to be in the dark, stumbling, trying to find your way. The first chapter tells you, when it says, be girdled and keep your lamp burning, those metaphors, if you think about it, it's two metaphors that he's telling us to do something, but we don't know exactly what it is we need to do. So let's go further. Let's read chapter 36. And it says, like men waiting for the master to return from the wedding banquet, so that he comes and knocked, that they can immediately open the door. It says, like men waiting for the master to return from a wedding banquet, so that he opens when the door is knocked. What is he saying there? If you follow the scripture, it seems anticipation. The servant is waiting to hear the knock from the master. He's expecting the master to show up at any point in time. So he's sitting there waiting. Those parables address us and where we are in life. Are we ready for the master? Are we ready to hear the knock on the door? What shall we do when we hear the knock? Are we prepared for what's to come? Another way of looking at it is the attitude as Christian. We are always to look for the blessed hope of Christ's return. The Apostle Paul wrote in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, and he says, look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Just listening to those scriptures, it is telling us there's something going on in these parables. And to follow that, verses 37 says, blessed are those servants who the master find awake and alert, watching when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will gird himself up and them recline at the table and will come and serve them. Does that make sense? Blessed are those servants who the master find awake, alert, watching when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will gird himself and have them recline at the table and he will come and serve them. In this parable, this is one of the most important part of this reading, chapter 37. What is basically saying, God our Father, Son Jesus Christ in the flesh comes, knocks at the door. If you read what it's saying in the quotation, is the master becomes the servant. If you follow history, there's no part of the world when the servant is above the master. No part of the world you would find that. But yet, Jesus is telling this parable and he's saying, the master will become the servant. He will serve you. The servant never expected this. Look at Peter. At the time of washing feet, Peter said to Jesus, you will not wash my feet. Because Peter knew he was not worthy for God to wash his feet. But yet, God said, unless I wash your feet, you cannot be part of me. This is what we call love. This is what we call agape love. God himself will humble himself and come to us and say, you know what? I will wash your feet. I will serve you at the table. This is what the message is saying. The context of it is we have a master who wants us to recline at the table and he wants to come and serve us. We as believers have to believe that and anticipate his coming. We cannot say there's no such thing. It said we walk by faith and not by sight. This is a time when we look and we see what's going on in the world. And we say, Lord, man, gosh, when will thou come? And that leads me into the third verses. It says, if he comes in the second watch or the third watch after midnight and find them, so blessed are those servants. If he comes in the second watch before midnight or the third watch after midnight, and find them, blessed are those servants. Blessed are those servants. They are blessed because they are with the master. The master is here. He comes with gifts. He comes bearing gifts. He comes to say, you have done what I told you to. This is my blessing for you. This is what I want you to do. The servant is already blessed by just believing. It starts with believing. I can stand up and preach all the word to you, but unless you believe Christ is your Savior, nothing of this makes sense to you. So as we stand there and we say, oh God, I believe. No part in this scripture, God is telling you, I want you to do. He said, think of it. I stand up here, I want to say 2 years ago, and I preach a sermon. And part of that sermon was a gift. And I went and I looked up what gift was in the Oxford Dictionary. I know what it says. A gift. It's a gift. It's given. And it has to be received from someone. So I can have a lovely gift. And if I offer it to you, you don't accept it. Is it a gift? God sent his son into the world to die for us. We already have the gift. The gift is given, but unless you accept it, it's not a gift to you. But to the believers, we already have the gift. This parable speaks to us. We are the ones sitting there waiting for the knock at the door. We already have the gift. So we can stand and say, you know what? It doesn't matter if the second hour, the third shift, I'm a faithful servant, and I will wait until the masters knock on the door. When he knocks on the door, I'll be ready. Better prepare are we, because we know not yet the hour when he shall appear. And because of that, we prepare our hearts every day. Every morning we wake up and we reconcile ourselves to God. By the things we do, the things we have not do, by omission or commission, we could have sinned against him. That does not mean we lose our salvation. It's just we go back to our Creator and we said, I want to walk closer to you. I want an intimate walk with you. But to do so, I have to cleanse myself. One of the most beautiful things Christ did for us, he said to his disciples when he was leaving, he said, I must go away, but I promise you, when I go, I will send the Comforter. And when the Comforter comes, he will reveal all truthness to you. What is the Comforter? As believers, we have the indwelling Spirit. It guides us. It shows us the way we should walk. So we are already equipped for everything that's in this word that is speaking to you right now. Verses 39, it says, but of this be assured, if the household had known at what time the burglar was coming, he would have been awake and alert and watching and would not have permitted his house to be broken into. And following that, it says, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour and a moment when you do not anticipate it. As Christian, when we read into these two scriptures, we pause for a minute and we said, if I'm on guard, the things of the world that we see currently and in the past should not affect our focus on God. We should not worry about the burglar breaking into our house, meaning that our spiritual life and walk does not affect. We should not be affected by the events that we see going on around the world and in this country. Our focus should be, we on guard. See, even though if we on guard, the burglar will not come and break into us because our minds are prepared. We are prepared for what's to come. We can be disillusioned by the things we see, the troubles, the problems, the pain, the suffering that we go through. Every day we say, oh God, when will you come? When is the hour? Our anticipation is like, my gosh, we need you to come. But we all know, it is written, no man know the hour when the Father will appear. You know, one of the things I think demonstrate this is, as Christ was on the cross, he stretched out his hands and he said to the Father, it is finished. In saying that, what he was doing, he was reconciling the world to himself. Past, present, and future, all tied up in that moment in time. Our redemption was right there on that cross. There's no more going back to the cross. The price has been paid. The gifts are there. The Lord have blessed us. John 10:10 said, it said, the thief come to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that they may have life and life more abundantly. We do have life abundantly in Jesus Christ. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to believe this. We gotta be bold. We have to be bold for Christ. This is When we choose to walk this walk, there's no way we should be timid. What can they do? The Bible says, if God is for you, who should you be afraid of? We have to express ourselves. And it's not being obnoxious. It's just telling somebody your story. Your story, my story, it all leads to... I can tell you how I became saved. I can tell you the things I did was not pleasing to God. We all have a story to tell. And our story is our testimony. And when we say to someone, you know what? This is what happened to me, and this is how the Lord saved me. Someone looked at that, and you're planting the seed, and God increased the harvest. That's all we have to do. Tell our story. Tell folks what God have done to us. You know, just the fact that as we went through the scripture, another thing jumps out to us is, must I do? If you start to have a list of do's and don'ts, pretty soon you get a contempt for the word. You're like, my gosh, I got to do. That's not what the word is saying. This is not what these parables are saying. What it is basically saying is we are already blessed in the highest place. We already been given the gift. Our hearts and minds are already there. All we have to do is sit in anticipation of the Master coming in and welcoming it back to himself. To be ready, what must we do? To be ready means to accept God's grace and love, to share it with others. It's not just sitting idle by. It's not just giving up. It's basically following his lead. One of his lead is, I want you, as children of God, to seek me. He said, if you seek me, you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. One of my favorite scripture is John 3:16. But even better than John 3:16 is John 3:17. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his beloved son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:17, which follows it, says, God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but through him the world may be saved. I can't say anything more. All I can say, I stand before you, and I know that deep down in my heart, there's a God, and he seeks each and every one of us. He meets us the way we are in life. And he said, you know what? I love you. I love you. All I want you to do is sit there, anticipate my return, and when the door is knocked, let me in. Throw away the list of do I have to do, and just believe and become a follower of Christ. If there's anyone sitting in this audience who for some reason wants to know what it's like to be ready for the Master, I sure Elder Boggs would appreciate and would love to discuss with you what it's like to be ready. Personally, I think we all in our hearts are somewhat ready. When it says ready, meaning that we have folks who have different theology, this. But what ready means is you seriously have to examine yourself. You have to look within and say, am I praising the true Creator? Am I worshiping the true God? Also, what will life look like? Am I equipped for his calling? Will I be ready when he calls me on? And if by chance we departed this life before he comes, rest assured he goes into his presence. The best words you can hear him says, welcome, faithful servant. You have done. You have run the race, like Paul said. You have done. Come in. Enjoy the banquet. The banquet is for you. What more can I say? In closing, I just want to say this. For the love of Christ and what he has redeemed us from, all we can ever do as a token of appreciation for the ultimate price. It said, Lord, we love you. We love you. If I said to you, I love you, it takes more than me saying love. Love follows. Love is action word. Love has to come with action. Saying love you means I have to do something for you. I can say, oh, I love you, and you starve into debt. Is that love? If my sister is struggling, and I said I love her, I need to go alongside her. It's not just the words, but the action that follows. I stand before you as a Christian, and I said, I love God and love you guys. And because of that, love compelled me to do the things that I need to do. Love compels me to come alongside you. Love compelled me to sometimes make those tough decisions and sometimes say the tough words to you. Sometimes it might be correction. It might be, you know what, you need to shift gears. You're going in the wrong direction. But if I love you and you're going waywards, left, and I need to tell you, you know what, you need to get back from the broad road to the narrow road, that is love. That is love. So as I leave you, a parting word was, let's love. Let's love. Let's love each other and let's love God. And love covers a multiple of sin. So we, as believers, can keep our red eyes. We can wait for the master return. And we know, and we can be assured, his blessing will always follow us. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, I just want to first and foremost say, just thank you for giving me the courage to come up here and just share part of your word with these brothers and sisters. Lord, I know that each and every one of us are called daily to carry our cross and our burden. Sometimes, Lord, the burden becomes so heavy that we become so disillusioned. But, Lord, yet we know that you want us to keep carrying on. We said, search our hearts, O Lord, and see if there's any wicked way in us, and lead us into your everlasting life. We pray not just for ourselves, but we pray for this nation. As we look and see what goes on in this country, in this world, we know, Lord, we see calamity, we see horror, we see all kinds of stuff, yet we know, Lord, you still sit on the throne. There's two thrones. There's a throne, there's an earthly throne, and there's a heavenly throne. We as Christian Heavenly Father, help us to look towards your throne, because from you all blessings flow and all knowledge. Bless us this day, bless our loved ones, and help us to walk in your way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.